having a mind to come out to the house of God. And you know, this is such a spirit of heaviness. I was, before I came to church, I did hear the shooting in San Bernardino, California. And right now it says 14 dead and 17 injured. You know, at this point in the game. And it's kind of sad because they were having, I guess, a holiday party at one of those developmental centers for the disabled. And someone just at least three people went in and started shooting. Amen. So, you know, we're living in shit terrible times. And then I was listening to the news yesterday, and I don't even know how anybody in their right mind could have done this, but it was a 9-year-old child that they took in the alley in South Chicago and executed. They said his body was so riddled with bullets that it was unbelievable. The chief of police said he'd never seen anything like that in his life. They executed the child trying to get back at his father because he was a gang member. Amen. So we're living in challenging times. Amen. There's so much uncertainty. The only thing that we should be set and sure about is that we're saved. Amen. And whatever happens around us, amen, even as the Hebrew boy said, if God don't deliver us, we will not fall down and worship any false gods. So we just thank God for that tonight. But you know, in Jesus giving his discourse on the Mount of Olives, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, he said that evil man shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And because iniquity is lawlessness. It's just a complete disregard for not only human law, but God's law. He said, because lawlessness or iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Inevitably, over time, we're living in a day and age where the love of many has waxed cold than it is today. Amen. I mean, how could you shoot a 9-year-old child? How could you execute a child? Amen. And they said they don't believe it was one person, they believe it was a group. And they said the kid loved his basketball, everybody went to the basketball with him. They found the basketball in on the side, him dead. Amen. So we know these are prayer times. Amen. And as we know, Aaron's girlfriend just out of nowhere died of heart disease. Hadn't been detected with a heart problem or anything. So today, we need to make sure we're ready. Anybody, if you were to leave tonight, this ain't a scare message, but it's the truth. The Bible said, knowing the terror of the Lord, be persuaded. If you were to expire tonight, could you say as well with my soul? I don't care about the body, I don't care about anything else, Lord, I just want to be saved, amen? Let us stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Psalm 19. And tonight, the subject that we're going to deal with is the spirit of stubbornness. The spirit of stubbornness. Can we say it together? The spirit of stubbornness. Amen. The spirit of stubbornness. Knowing the right thing to do is continuing to do your own thing. That is stubborn. Amen. And tonight, you know, if ever there's a time when we need to search ourselves, and to be sure that it's well between us and the Savior. The Psalm said, if Jesus will come with your soul, be prepared, for he's coming as a thief in the night. What answer shall render your soul to be spared, for he's coming as a thief? O soul, awake, soon the Lord shall come, and none shall stand in his sight. But those who are washed in the for he's coming as a, but it's not for the church. He's not coming as a thief because we're looking. Amen. And those that are ready, he's coming as a thief. Amen. First, we're going to read Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. Amen. Now we're dealing with the spirit of stubbornness. Amen. Everybody know what it means to be stubborn, right? Anybody don't know what it means to be stubborn? Amen. Unfortunately, sometimes my mother and father said we were a little stubborn. They would tell us to do one thing and we would do what? But growing up down south, we didn't do that too many times. Amen. That was a rod of correction. Could ride that stubbornness out. Amen. And I can assure you, we might have traveled once or twice. Amen. We might even, you know, down south, they used to tell us we couldn't roll our eyes. If they said something and we looked the other way, you knew something was coming right behind that book. But the spirit of stubbornness is when you know to do the right thing and you do what you want to do. Or the spirit of stubbornness is you know what you've been told and what honors the person that's in authority, but you do what you want to do because it's your thing and you can do what you want to do. That is stubbornness, to know. James put it this way, to him that knoweth to do good and to him that doeth it, it is that stuff. You know to do and you don't do it, that is. Only half the church is talking this way. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring. The what? Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Moreover, my then is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I skipped one? Everybody ain't perfect.
That's
it. Amen. Okay. All right. Moreover. Oh, you know what? My 10 ain't left my balance. All right. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Now, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his error? Cleanse thou me from
sinful.
Who can understand his error? Clean thou me from
sinful.
Keep back thy servant also from
unrighteousness,
and let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent of the great. And as bitter spoons have prayed, let the words of my mouth and the be what? Acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May the Lord have blessed you to read of his word in the church. Seated in the presence of the Lord. So tonight we're dealing with the spirit of stubbornness. Amen. And it is so important tonight, not just when we leave, but even while we sit here, if we would examine ourselves. Amen. Am I obedient to God? If I know what God has asked me to do, do I do it? Right? Because the scripture said, to him that what? Knoweth. We're not talking about guessing. But if you know, to him that knoweth to do good and to him that doeth it. So we know what is the right thing to do, but we don't do it, that is being stubborn. Right? So if I know to do the right thing, I know that I should be saved and coming to church. I know that I should honor God. And I know I should do the right thing, but I don't do it. The Bible calls that sin. Because what? We know to do. Amen. So he starts off in verse 7, 8, and 9, talking about God's word, God's judgment, and God's plan. He said, if you do it God's way, and then if you follow what God has given you, verse 11 said, moreover, by them is thy servant. So if I give heed to the word of God, God's word will warn me. And if I give heed to his word will also direct my path. But if I hear God's word and do what I want to do, I'm in error. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Moreover, than I give thy servant warning, and keeping of them that is
great.
You know, we live in a day and age where people say, you know, I would have done God's word, but I would have missed out on something. Don't ever neglect God and do something wrong thinking you're going to miss out on it. He said, if you just honor God and keep his word, and then that is what kind of a reward?
Great reward.
The thing is, we don't see the reward because we walk by sight and not by faith. When we walk by faith, even when it seems like the whole world's against us, when it seems like the fiery furnace is heated up seven times hotter than it should be heated, we still walk by faith. Amen. We won't compromise our faith or our conviction because of the cost. But when we walk by sight, we lose sight of God. We lose sight that God is in control because we're not being dominated or controlled by his word. The moment we get out of God's word, we walk according to our own understanding. And the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And a man thinketh a thing, he knoweth it not yet as he. So when we start trying to calculate things according to our own mindset, we go in error because we just don't know. Can we say thank you, Jesus? But one of the problems with the spirit of stubbornness will not please God. Amen. When you're stubborn, you can't please God because you're walking contrary to God. But the scripture said, when a man ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be in peace. Praise the Lord, Matthew. We're so glad you're back. I know Matthew, he hasn't smiled in a week. We thank God he's smiled again. Amen. He said he's not letting you go away again. He did tell me that. He didn't say it out loud, but I can see it in his eyes. So we tell him again with the spirit of what? Stubbornness, all right? So verse 12 says, who can understand his? There's a whole lot in us that we don't even know about yet. Amen. There's some surprises down in our heart that we don't know. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and what? Desperately wicked. He said, who can know? You know, who can know their own heart? There's some stuff down in here. So the psalmist said, Lord, who can understand the error of his ways? He said, cleanse out me from the stuff that I don't even know about me. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me. Mm-hmm. Amen. There are sometimes, I know it's happened to me several times over the years, since I'm only about 30 years old, so I didn't experience all that you 50-year-old has experienced it. How old are you, brother? 30. Oh, I guess I'm older than 30. I might be 40 then. But what I'm saying is, over the years, I've experienced some things, and I've seen some things that I didn't like about myself. You know, and when I see it, I say, Lord, you know what? I want to make it to heaven. I can't make it to heaven. But if I don't like it, I know God. Right? If you see some stuff about you and you don't like it, you know God don't like it. The problem is seeing it, knowing it's wrong, knowing God don't like it, and continuing to do it. That is called stubborn. Right? If you ever act, I mean, this is hypothetical. I know most of y'all get that happen. Hypothetical. You ever acted some ugly way, and you couldn't rescue yourself. Your own conscience was beating you to death. If you ever have any of y'all, you only got an answer. I just want you to think about this. You got an answer. Because I know most of y'all ain't had the problem. I'm talking about me. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
I have a niche profession. So I'm talking about me. I'm all messed up. And then you do it, and you look at it, and you say, you know, that was so ugly. Mm. You say, God, how could I ever do it?
Thank you, Jesus.
But then to turn around and do it again. And we have God on our inside. The Bible said, if your conscience condemn you, God is greater. So you acted in a stubborn way. You don't like it. Your conscience is beating you up. You don't even sleep. Men don't cry in front of people, but y'all do cry. All right? Y'all, I mean, come on, Jesus cried. He's the Savior of the world. He cried. The Bible says plainly, Jesus, well, show the Bible, show the scripture in the Bible. I think that's John 11:35. Jesus wept. Right? But you were crying with some ugliness in you. But then you turn around and do it again. Now, everybody can have two strikes. Even the baseball, they give you two strikes. But when you do it a third time, you're out. How do you do it? 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm talking about ugly and you don't even like it. Right? I'm talking about ugly and you said, man, you look at your camera, that body camera, you say, that was me. Jesus. Actually, I saw a cartoon. This is a facetious, it's a cartoon, it's a track. I think I gave it to y'all years ago. A person died. And they were at the judgment scene. Right? This is a track. So you don't this track. The person died, they were at the judgment scene. So God starts off, he commends them for the good thing they were doing, they were patting themselves on the back. Then he said, okay, now we're gonna show you this. He said, oh no, God, don't show me that. he said, no, don't show me that. Then God said, well, okay. Please don't show me that either. Oh, I got to the point, he's like, well, what can I show you? Everything you did, you said, don't show you because it was wrong. So how can you go with me when everything I'm trying to show you has been wrong? Right? It was a trap. It was facetious, but it's true. How can we live with God when we're always doing the wrong thing? There's nothing wrong with doing the wrong thing, but can we at least correct it? Well, so he said, verse 13, he says, keep back thy servant from
presumptuous
sin. This is presumptuous sin. You know, actually. Yeah, you ever talk to people? I used to talk to people. They say, yeah, I know, but I'm going to enjoy this because I'm just going to enjoy myself now. I know it's not pleasing God. That is a presumptuous sin. You know it's wrong and you're going to do it anyway? Right? He said, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. When you presumptuous sin is, I keep doing it, and I'm going to keep doing it. He said, well, when you presume, he said, let them not have dominion. Right? When you stubbornly do the wrong thing and you keep doing it, that wrong thing now controls you. It has dominion. It dominates you. He said, let it not have dominion over thee, then shall I be. If you don't be stubborn, you'll be pleasing to God. He said, I shall be innocent of the
great.
Well, how do I finish this out? Let the word stop right there. What kind of words come out of our mouths? Right? The psalmist said, you know what? I want to be right. So before I be right, I'm going to check what I have to say. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my
heart
be acceptable in everyone else's sight.
Thy sight, O Lord.
O Lord, my strength. The first thing you gotta check is what's coming out of our mouth. How you gonna honor God when you spit out bitter and sweet water out of the same fountain? Right? Little member, but it boasts great things. It's a world of iniquity. It's a deadly fire. What's spitting out of our? We're talking about being stubborn and not changing. Amen. So now let us go to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. God does not like stubbornness. Amen. God is displeased with stubbornness. Actually, before we go there, go to 1 Samuel chapter 15 first. We all know this story, but let's go there for one quick second. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And for the sake of time, let me see which verses we're going to use. I'm going to try and get arrogant because we want to get as many of these scriptures in about being stubborn. You know what another word for stubborn is? Self-willed. A stubborn person is self-willed because they know what's right to do, but they're going to do what they self-willed. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17. We know this is the time when God gave Saul specific, not general, he gave him specific direction. I want you to do this. But Saul did what he wanted to do. Was God happy with him? We will find out. The answer is No, because God gave him a directive. And in this directive, he said, I want you to go and slay all of the Amalekites. He said, because I remember what they did when Israel came out of Egypt. He said, that's why God says, you know, there's no God like our God. He's so merciful. He didn't even exact judgment right away. He gave them time to get it right. But then he began to judge. He said, now, you are the vessel that I'm going to use to exact my judgment, but you got to do it my way. What did Saul do? The opposite. Stubborn, right? Verse 17 said, and Samuel said, when thou was, that's the biggest problem in church. When we first got saved, you know how humble we were? We were just a nobody, trying to tell everybody about somebody. But after a little while, you was a somebody. Seriously. Okay, y'all can use me. I know that's why I use me, but when I try to hit y'all and get close, y'all can laugh. Y'all like to laugh at me, right? He said, when you were nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody you could save anybody, you were small. But through the process of time, you got big. And not only would you not listen to somebody, you didn't listen to anybody. You got big. It's hard when you don't listen to God. Now, you know what? When it comes to people, maybe I'm just a little harder from a person. But when I know what God has said directly to me, and I'm in church and I hear a word, and I know God spoke that word to me, then when I disobey God, that's a bad thing. Amen? He said, when you were little in your own sight, was I not made head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord, who did it?
The Lord.
God. Amen. Who did it? Y'all miss it? No. All right, that's my son. I can't miss it for some. Right. Danny said, can't know, he said, even the lady on the internet can't seem like she here. So I ain't gonna miss it. All right. He said, but the Lord anointed the king of his people. And the Lord sent me on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the destroy the who? The sinners. The Amalekites. And to fight against them until they be with them a vague order. I mean, did he have to try to figure anything out? He told them what to do what? Directly. Amen? Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice? You heard what God said. You know what God spoke. You ever have one of those occasions where you say, Lord, you're speaking to me? Yes. I know when I hear some preachers preach, I'm like, oh, God, you're speaking to me. You know, it's hard when I go somewhere and they be speaking to me and they say, hey, give an altar call. I'm like, altar call? I need to be at the altar. You know, so I say, you were speaking to me and you want me to go on. Right? But how about when God speaks to you? And you know God is speaking directly to you. And you do what you want to do. That is a spirit of stubbornness. Amen. He said, why did you obey the voice of the Lord, but did his fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? So when God gives you a direct order and you don't do it, the Bible said that is what? Evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag the king of the Amalek and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the God gave him, he didn't tell him, he didn't give the people the directive. Who did he give it to? Saul. Right. So, why did Saul listen to the people if it's true instead of God? So that's the tendency we have even in our lives. We have a tendency to listen to people more than God. Amen. He said, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord God and you know, he basically said, the thing that you condemn, we're going to give it to you. Right, we're going to go over this when we get over Malachi. He said, you know what? God told the children of Judah, he said, you give me stuff that you want to give to a man. You give me your mane. He said, stuff that you would have thrown out and threw in the garbage, God said, you're giving it to and to me. So the thing that God did, he wanted them to destroy, the king is now trying to give it to him as a sacrifice. I mean, how bad can you be? How stubborn can you? God said, that is evil, that's sin, I don't want it. But he said, well, I want it to you anyway. I'm just saying, this ain't y'all. So I don't know what I'm saying. It ain't you. That's an excuse. The very thing God despises and rejects, you keep giving to him. Why? Stubbornness. Amen. And Samuel said, hath the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and in sacrifice, has in obeying the voice of the Lord. But to obey is what? Better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the veteran. So God wants obedience. If you know to do good, then do it. He said, for rebellion is as the... He said, if you're rebellion, you're just like a witch. And back in those days, what did they do with witches? They stoned them. Right? They killed them. He said, when you're rebellious, you're acting like a witch. Amen? True story. That's what he said. As witchcraft, as stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And God hates it. Because I have rejected the word of the Lord, he is also. So when we get stubborn, we look for God for a blessing, but God can't bless us. He said, because I have rejected you because you are stubborn. Stubbornness. He said the very thing that where you should have got a blessing, you didn't get it because of your stubbornness. Now let's go to 2 Chronicles and chapter 36. Amen. That is one application of someone that was stubborn and did what they wanted to do. Chapter 36 is in the end of Judah. Now this is after Jeremiah, the prophets had all prophesied. Telling the children of Judah, he said, God is going to pronounce judgment on you if you don't change your evil ways. But let's see what happens. Amen. Verse 11 of 2 Chronicles 36 read. If you read all the way up to it, you see how the Lord is, sending prophets and priests, trying to get his people to change. They got so bad that at one point, the only two that were speaking in God's favor was Zephaniah and Jeremiah. Only two speaking. Actually, there was another one there that most people don't know of. Her name was Huldah, H-U-L-D-H. She was a prophetess. They were the only one that were really speaking for God at that time. Everybody else in the whole nation was going contrary to God. Amen. So it comes in verse 11. It says, Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and what? Not humble himself. So that's one of the signs of being stubborn when we all humble ourselves. Before Jeremiah the prophet speaking from the mouth of the Lord. So he's speaking directly from God, but the king would not humble himself because he was determined to do what he wanted to do. And he also rebelled against the king Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his stubborn. Everybody means stiff neck in what? Stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of. How you stiffen your neck and harden your heart and you don't want to turn to God? Jesus. Stubborn. Amen. Over all the city of Moab, all the chiefs of the priests and the people transgressed very much after the abomination of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. So this situation so bad they took it into church doing what they wanted to do. And the Lord God of their father sent to them by his messengers rising up in time and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. faith. This is when you listen to the messages of God. This is when you reobey. God is sending people. You want to humble yourself. They'll help you turn, help you out, and you begin to mock them. You know what I'm saying? You understand? You understand? You go to and help somebody say, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, we know Mr. and Mrs. Righteous. Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Holy. The problem is, righteous and holy, you're wrong. Right? So instead of you listening, you begin to mock. You don't even talk. You got a big word about mock. Can you even make that bigger? Can't make it bigger. She says, she can't make it bigger. I can't, but I'm not doing it. Why are you mocking somebody that's trying to help you? And Mr. Goody Two Shoes and Mrs. Good, and you know you are
wrong.
So they mock the messenger of God and despise. We're not talking about the person, because the person was only in the stead of God. But they mock the messenger and despise God's word and misuse. You're in a bad spiritual situation when you don't want to humble yourself, right? Until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was
no
remedy. You real bad there. God said, you know what? You go so far, I can't even help you. You know, when you talk about y'all deal with people in the world, because y'all have trouble in church. Y'all deal with people, you say, man, I ain't nothing else I can do for you. I've done everything. There's nothing else I can do. He said, listen, they misuse God's people and the word and God so bad, God said, there's no more. There's not even a remedy for you. God said, I can't help you because you don't listen to prophet. You don't listen to me. You don't listen to. God said, there's no remedy. Well, what's the problem? You're too stubborn. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 29. So he said, I can't help you because there's not even a remedy. He said, you know what? As much as I want, and he said earlier, he said he had compassion on them, and he kept sending one after another, and they refused to hearken, and they did what they wanted to do. Amen. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. Right, Proverbs. So when you're stubborn, God said, I reach out. I've tried to help you. He said, but I can't help you because you don't want to do it. He said, there's no remedy. There's not a solution to your stubbornness, because the people that you should listen to, you mock. When the prophets come, you don't listen. When you hear the word of God, you give it a deaf ear and you do what you want
to do.
Verse 21 says, he that sometimes,
often.
Somebody said, you know, I know I mess, everybody mess up every once in a while, but he said, how is he doing this?
Often.
You're doing this on a regular basis. You're doing contrary to God, not sometimes, because we all mess up. Sometimes we're right there.
Sometimes.
But when you're all the time wrong, when you're all the time messing up, when you're all the time doing the wrong things, that you're being often, and then you don't want to listen, you do what? Stiff-necked. Right? You're stubborn. With all of that help someone's trying to give you. Can y'all say ouch or something? Like that? Say ouch. We say ouch for the people that's too. Right? Most of us, all of us are already listening to us. All right. He said, you harden your neck. God said, you know what? When you get to the point where you keep hearing and listening, a lot of people have sent away their days of grace. Because the scripture said the Spirit of God will not always.
Right.
You know, like I said, some of us have some. You know what's wrong. You know the right thing to do, and you do what you want to do. He said, they shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without. Why? Because you were here, but you keep doing what you want to do. Proverbs 1 and verse 22. Amen. I'm going to stay on course, because I know at about 8:15 or so, y'all gotta go. But before you go, hopefully we know not to be
stubborn.
Because right? When you're stubborn, you don't even listen to God. Amen. It's like like the rich man when he died, he said, Father Abraham, he said, send Lazarus back that he can testify to my brothers. He said, I don't want them to come to this place of torment. And Abraham said, listen, they have Moses and the prophets. He said, if they don't give heed to them, neither will they believe the one rose
from the dead.
And then in the 27th chapter of Matthew, the Lord did it. After he rose from the dead, he took all them dead things back into Jerusalem. Guess what? Still didn't believe. So when we get so set in doing things our ways that we won't listen to God's word, even if somebody rose from the dead, you go home and have a dream. Man, somebody came from the dead. He was telling me all this stuff. God don't want to make that unbeliever. I said, yes, I did. I sent them to help you. But you didn't want to hear it.
Jesus.
Right? So when you won't give heed to God's word out of love for the truth and out of obedience, even if someone came from the dead, you still wouldn't
believe.
You don't read that in Matthew. They talk about all these dead saints when Jesus resurrected. This ain't fiction. This is true. And I want you to challenge me. Go read it. When Jesus rose from the dead, all those dead saints got up with him and went into the city and showed themselves to people. And still don't believe. You know why? Because it's not about what you see. You have to have a love for God to believe the truth.
Amen.
So all that went in the city, and they didn't just go to the city, they showed themselves to the people that knew them, that they had been dead. Y'all ever read that?
Amen.
It's in there. I ain't making it up. Go read Matthew chapter 27. You read it. Read the whole thing from the end to the end. Right? But at the end, you see, it said, when Jesus resurrected, many of the dead saints, like around verse 52 of Matthew 27, all those dead saints that were dead, when he went down and preached to the spirits that were in prison, and then he led captivity captive, he brought them dead saints back to Jerusalem. And they walked around, and they still didn't believe. Verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 1. He said, how long? You know, God's pretty serious this time. He said, what? The other time he said, how long, was when he sent Elijah to the people. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? He said, if God be God, then serve him. He said, but if Baal be God, then serve him. Now, you know a person is stubborn when they're caught in the middle and they won't say it. He said, they answer them not a word. That's stubborn. You know what's right and what's wrong. We just say, I ain't saying it. Because that's my thing and I can do what I want to do. Right? So the Lord said, how long are we going to straddle the fence between right and wrong? How long? So he said, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love? How long are you going to stay in that simple state? How long are you going to stay like that? You know it's wrong. You know I'm trying to reach you. You know I'm trying to redirect. He said, how? Hey, look at somebody tell how long we can all do this. It's easy to talk to somebody else, you just don't want to talk to yourself. Say, how long are you gonna be all like that? Simplicity means you a simple-minded person. They said, this is what a simple-minded person say, you know what? If I go over there, I'm gonna get in trouble. What are they gonna do? I'm gonna do it anyway. That's simple-minded. Right? Wait a minute, simple, don't you know? Say simple, say listen. If you go down that road, there's so many people been destroyed, they go on that path, don't go on that path. You know what the simple person says? That happened to them, but it won't happen to me. Then they go and they get destroyed. That's simple. He said, how long are you going to be simple? How long are you going to keep following all this foolishness that's messed everybody up? So how long? You simple ones, will you love simplicities? As scorners delight in their
scorning,
and fools hate. Because a fool is head in his heart, there is
no God.
No God. Right? So when you act stubborn and you refuse to change, you say, well, you know what? There really ain't a God, no way. Right? Because if there was a God, things would be different. He said, how long will you fools hate knowledge? He said, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my God said, you stuck me like that. He said, I'm going to make my words known unto you. Amen. Everybody have a dream? You ever have a dream that God spoke to you and you woke up in the dream? I'm just telling you the truth. You woke up in the dream. And you knew God was speaking to you, and for a few minutes, a couple days, you said, I gotta change. But then simple went back to simplicity. And fools hated. God showed you what was wrong. But instead of changing, you went back and did the same thing again. He said, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make, no, he said, I'm going to make you know my words. Amen? Because I have, God said, I've called. And you heard God's word. Hallelujah. And you knew God was speaking. And you gave God a deaf ear. You wouldn't even hearken to God. He said, he refused. He said, I even stretched out my hand to try to call you home. I'll call you to the altar for help. He said, but you what? You wouldn't even regard it. This isn't a person doing it. Who's doing this? God. God is trying to reach you. God is trying to, he's called. You refused him. He even stretched. God stretched out his hand and you refused God's hand because you want to do what you He said, but you have said enough all my counsel. And he said, you wouldn't accept none of my reproof. He said, I've been trying to change. He said, I've been giving you reproving and words and correction, but you did not want to hearken. And he said, everybody said, hey, we ain't coming out on Wednesday night anymore. These services just be too heavy on Wednesday. And you need to be saved. Whatever it takes, Lord, I must. Lord, whatever you have to do to me. Lord, just don't let me be lost for eternity. For above all else, I must be saved. Lord, whatever you have to do to me, I must be saved. He said, verse 26, he said, I will laugh at your, I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a when distress and anguish. He said, when you're going through, listen, God said, I've been trying to reach you. And you know, this is what happens a lot of times. People are like, God said, I've done everything I can. I've called, I've stretched out my hand. He said, but you continue to do what you He said that when the role is reversed, and when you need help, he said, when all that trouble is mounted upon you, amen. He said, you know what I'm gonna do? He said, I want to laugh. Because I tried to reach you. He said, I've been reaching. He said, can you imagine God's going to laugh at your calamity? Why was God laughing at our calamity? You were stubborn. And you refused to say yes. Amen. He said, verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not. God said, I've given you time. I've given you space. He said, I've been reaching. I've been calling. He said, I didn't even stretch out my hand. And you wouldn't even respond to me. So God said, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Well, what was the problem? They hated knowledge and refused to. The fear of the Lord means they didn't reverence God at all. He said, they would none of my counsel. They despised. God said, everything I did to try to help them, they despised it, they rejected it. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their and they shall be filled with their own device. Why? They would not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't be saved doing it your way. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12. Chapter 6 and verse 12. Now we're talking about what? The spirit of
stubbornness.
Amen. Like I said, I know I learned at an early age. I didn't like stubborn. My father would be so bad one time because I acted up. I was not innocent completely. I wasn't guilty or innocent completely. I really wasn't. You know, I was a kid. I was only second grade. How old were you in second grade?
Seven.
Six or seven. I was only six or seven then. I didn't even. That's why parents have to be careful. He should have whipped himself. I should have told him that too. They're like, well, he should have went to himself, right? Because you know what I got in trouble for? As a 7-year-old kid, the teacher made me upset over something at school, and I said the school is a redhead heifer. What's a redhead heifer? I don't even know what it is. That's all I said. That teacher said, you called me what? I said, I didn't call you a redhead heifer. I called him, I didn't know what it was. What's a 7-year-old kid know what a redhead heifer is? She said, I'm calling your father, tell him you called me a redhead heifer. I was like, so what's the big deal? I didn't know what was a big to do. He called people redhead heifers all the time. So about 6 o'clock that night, the phone, I thought I got by with it. About 6 o'clock, the phone rang, he said, he called you a what? Why did he go so bad? He said it all the time. He would be so bad at 6 o'clock when I went to school the next morning at 8, I was still crying. I ain't never called nobody else about it red enough. I didn't know what it was, but I knew. That rod drove that rod in direction and all that foolishness away from me, right? But who's really guilty? 7-year-old? All I'm doing is what? Repeating. My father passed away. I need to have checked him on that. Mm-hmm. But it's too late. Probably would have did it anyway. But what I'm saying is we have to be careful as parents that we don't say and do the wrong things around our kids as well. Amen? All right, so let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 12, see, a naughty person, right? A naughty person, in the Hebrew, they use the word, you know what, when you call someone Belial, B-E-L-I-A-L, this is the same word for Belial. It means that you're wicked, you're worthless, you are no good. So, a naughty person, this is a wicked person, is no good, all right? And a wicked man walking with a forward mouth, he winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Forwardness, he's just perverted, he don't just do what he wants to do because he's in charge. It's in his heart, he devises mischief continually, he soweth. This is what? A wicked person. This is a person that's worthless. This is the son of Belial. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, it says, what concord has Christ with Belial? Right? How does Christ agree with a wicked person? Right? When he tells them, come out from among them, be what? Separate. So he said, what agreement does Christ have with a wicked, evil person? Amen? Verse 15 said, therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be wicked. Right? Did you say something? He said, suddenly he's going to be broken. And there's not going to be him. What? Because of his naughtiness. Because not only is he naughty, when you sow discord, that means you drag everybody else into that cesspool of naughtiness. So sowing discord, you don't do that by yourself. That means you bring somebody else into that naughtiness. Amen. So God said, therefore, shall his calamity come suddenly. Why? Because he's not just corrupting himself or herself, but they get everybody else involved. Listen, when somebody's talking foolish, listen, I don't want to be a part of that. Because I don't want to be partaking of no man's sin. If you can mess up, you can tell somebody else, I don't want to hear that. Alright. Suddenly he shall be broken without
remedy.
These 16 does the Lord hate. Now remember, this wicked person soweth what? Discord. It's kind of watch people that like to just whisper stuff, keep a whole lot of stuff going, because God hates it. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud. You know, somebody can be so messed up, so wrong, and still be proud of it. God said, wait a minute, you know you messed up. How you come to church and still act like you somebody? Like you a mister and this is it. And not only do you look all like I'm Mr. and Mrs. Holy, he said, you have a hot tongue. Amen? And hands that shed. You know what? He said, you know what? person that mean you no harm, why are you running them down?
Jesus.
They're innocent. Why are you shedding them? You know, they've done everything to help you. Why are you talking about them like that? That's a person that's shedding
innocent blood.
Right? Someone has done their best to help you, and instead of you receiving that help, you go and tear them apart with your tongue. Shedding innocent blood. A heart that devises it.
Wicked imagination.
Remember, right in the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What's the problem? He said, the thoughts of their heart was evil continually. Right? So God destroyed the whole old world because of their wicked heart. How was it wicked? It never cleansed itself over and over and over. And only Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Feet that be swift and running to you. Somebody said, oh, it's a prayer meeting at church. No, I can't go to the prayer meeting. Hey, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Oh, yeah, let's go get somebody else. Don't run to that. God don't like that. Feet that are swift. Say, man, you can't wait to get involved with the discord. You can't wait to run somebody down. Somebody that don't even know they did anything. And you see them coming. This is how you know when you miss somebody. Innocent. Somebody comes to you all innocent, shake their head, you turn your head, go the other way, and the person is broken, like, hey, what did I do?
Amen.
The person don't even know what's wrong, but because of your wicked imagination.
Yes.
Right? Y'all with me?
Amen.
Your wicked imagination. They ain't did nothing, don't mean no harm, don't mean nothing, and you see them coming, you go the other way, and the person looks like, what happened? Don't do that. Because the person is innocent. But because you got an imagination, you created something that wasn't there. That's called a wicked imagination. And then when your imagination gets wicked, you say, you know what? Wait until I go tell everybody else about you, and the person is so innocent, they don't know a thing. Right? And you just shed that innocent blood. Why? Because of your own? Somebody said, yeah. They said, church ain't supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be whatever makes you get right. We're not coming to church for a show. We're not coming to church for a masquerade. We're not coming to church to try to look holy. Jesus said, what does it do if you clean the outside of the vessel? And the inside of the vessel is like a sepulcher full of dead men bones. You got to clean up the inside before you clean up
outside.
And the problem that we have in church, a lot of people are all of a sudden they're spiritually diseased.
Amen.
And you say, wow, what happened to them? It started on, they never cleaned up the inside. Let me finish this up, all right? A false witness that speaketh
lies.
Right? This is when in church, someone speaking lies about people that are innocent. Why? Wicked imagination. A naughty heart. Right? They're not receiving from God. And since they don't want to do anything good, they just got to keep a whole lot of stuff going. That's the only way they feel important. Right? Anyone that has to keep a lot of stuff going and can never say anything good, you don't need them in your presence. Because you can be assured God don't like ugly.
Amen.
Right? And he that soweth discord among brethren. Scripture, God hates that. Oh, I'm over time. Amen. Well, that's far enough on stubbornness. I do have one other scripture that we have one other scripture we're going to turn to before we close tonight. Now, because when we leave tonight, the most important thing is that we can say, Lord, is well with my soul. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. All right, go to Romans chapter 2. We're going to read. A lot of times we do things and we say, well, nobody don't know, and I'll be all right, I'll get by with it. Let me just find this scripture right quick. And then this is where we're going to end up. We're going to finish off here, okay? Actually, it's quite a few scriptures here. scripture, but I'm not going to read them all. Gotta go to chapter 2. Amen. Let's go to verse 12. Let's start off with verse 11. Now, on Sunday, we went over the fact that God has not changed. God doesn't change. God doesn't alter His word to fit your situation. God's word is constant, it's the same. Amen. Verse 11 says, for there is no. God said, what I say unto one. If God says that you need to change, you need to change. If God says He hates wickedness, He hates wickedness. If God says He hates a lying tongue, He hates a lying tongue. If God says He hates a proud look, a proud look, a person that's presumptuous. What do you think about a person that's presumptuous? Even when they're wrong, they look proud. A presumptuous person is arrogant. You ever see somebody, they mess up and say, they serve the same God? If I did what they did, I wouldn't even want to look at somebody. But a person that's presumptuous and arrogant, mess up and say, yeah. You got to watch them. Like, don't get drawn into that cesspool of knowledge. Amen. So it says, for there's no respect of person with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before, you want to be right before who? God. But the doer of the law shall be. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature, says in them to do the right things, the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto them, who show the work of the law written in their heart. Lord, just get it in my heart. If I get God's word in my heart, or even if I don't know it, if it's in my heart, I'm all right. Amen. Their conscience also is in their heart. So their conscience also bearing them what? Witness and their thoughts. The meanwhile, what is our thoughts? What is our, is it accusing or excusing us? Amen. Verse 16 said, in the day when God shall, say, you know what? All that stuff that's been bothering you, God, one day is going to judge that secret thing that's in your heart. Well, what is he going to judge it by? As we all stand. Amen. God hates the spirit of stubbornness. Amen. Because the spirit of stubbornness will know that they're wrong and will continue going in that direction. It's time for us as a people of God and as a people, the scripture said, it's time for us to make our calling and our election
sure.
He said, this is what the scripture says, the elders and ministers and all the altar workers come forward. This is what the scripture said. He said, for if you do the right thing before God, ye shall never fall. Right. So it's time for us to make our calling and elections sure. It's not a guessing thing. What I mean tonight, I'm not sure if I'm saying it or not. If I'm not sure, I need to be at the altar, but I must be saved. Amen. It's time for the church. As everyone stand, it's time for the church to make their call and election sure. And be assured of this, God hates, God despises, and God rejects the spirit of stubbornness. Hallelujah.
Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
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 God is so good. I just love the way God just continues to feed us with food. It's more than our necessary food. Hallelujah. The Word of God is more than our necessary food. Thank God for being here tonight. I thank God for the Word of God. I thank God just because He's awesome. I thank God because He knows me and He feeds me and He reaches out to me and you. Because there are things in our life that we need to tweak. We need to hone in on those things. Because all of us want to make it right. We want to make it in. We want to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I know I do. How many want to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Lord, just continue to work with me. Continue to work on me, oh God, because I'm a wretch undone. Oh Lord, I need you. I need you more than I ever needed you before. In this day and age, when even the very elect are being deceived, people are falling by the wayside, right and left. They're falling after false doctrine. They're being deceived by the enemy. The devil is in the numbers game. He's out to get you.